Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. This is Barry Johnston, and with me, as always, is my lifelong friend, Mr. Adam Beebe.
Ooh, spooky Halloween stories.
I love it. I love it.
This is one of my favorite times of the year. All the creepy, the gothic, the cool art. Everybody embraces the weird, and it's Halloween.
Yeah, it's a great time of year, and this is our 10th episode also.
Yeah, dude. 10th episode in the 10th month of the 30th day of the 18th year, but that's fine, whatever. It's Halloween.
Yeah, and this is a great time for crazy weird stories. Yep. And we got the perfect guest. He's got some really strange things that have happened to him. He's had some weird visions, and he's seen some weird stuff.
And he's even got a genuine Halloween story.
Super excited to hear it.
So convenient that it just fell on in as it did. So yes. So Barry, our guest is Brandon Robbins, and I've known Brandon for a number of years. He is a friend of mine from when I had my comic book shop there in Goldsboro, North Carolina, where he still currently resides. Brandon is another one of those friends where I'm kind of, you know, we're kind of family. He is another person that gives me the honorarific title of uncle. So love I'm it. Uncle Adam to him. At one point, he even recruited me to give his little brother Squeaky the talk. You know,
lucky
the talk. Yeah. And so that was a lot of fun.
How'd you do on that?
I mean, great, dude. Everything was great. I gave it a very, you know, reasonable, respectful, you know, this is the biology side of it. This is how you, the respectful side of it, how you treat your partner, how you respect your partner, you know, not just this typical, you know, tab A goes into slot B.
Yes.
Or, you know, through the biology of it, but just, you know, how you treat each other as human beings. And then, of course, our friend Marcus decided he wanted to get in on it too. And he gave the more down to earth tactical approach on you need to be good at this particular type of a skill, and you need to be good at that particular type of things to please the ladies.
That's
great. And, I won't divulge his secrets, but they were definitely illustrated in a more vulgar tone than my own. So, you know, it was a perfect little balance, and I'm sure we blew Squeaky's mind and possibly Brandon a little bit too with that. So, but hey, everybody learned something new that day, and it was a lot of fun. So. Brandon's a great guy. He asked me to be one of his groomsmen in his wedding, and he's fantastic, good person. I tell people who haven't met Brandon, if you want to get a good idea of Brandon, think young Hagrid from the Harry Potter series.
Nice.
He's a big guy. He's probably like 6'4", 6'5", and just a big, lovable guy. So let's get Brandon in here now that we've kind of, you know, talked you up and talked you down a little bit. Brandon, thank you for joining us, and what's your weird story?
Picking just one would be impossible.
That's why you're going to tell us several, so.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of weird things happen, but in the spirit of what I've heard from your show, the really weird, unexplainable stuff actually, you know, has occurred many times, you know, throughout my family's lineage. One of the stories that I've heard from my mom is the night of her grandmother's funeral. This is before I was even born. She's sitting in the couch, on the couch in the living room, and she can see into the kitchen from where she's sitting. She looks there, and all of a sudden, it's like, you know, she blinks, she looks up, whatever, and there's her grandmother standing there at the sink washing dishes, just like it's a typical, you know, night after dinner. And this startles my mom, of course, because she's not supposed to be there. But her grandma turns around to her and says, you know, I didn't hurt you when I was alive. I'm not going to hurt you now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hold on. So, like, she hurt. That's just. Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty intense. That's pretty. Wow.
It is. Now, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm a logical person. This could very well be my mom's subconscious processing her grief. My family is very religious. My mom has always believed that it's a sign from God that everything was going to be okay. That, you know, her grandmother was in a better place and that she was going to be watching over her. But I mean, the fact that stuff has happened to me that honestly I can't rationalize leads me to believe that this wasn't something as simple as my mom's subconscious. Something was going on that, you know, we can't explain using natural means. Right. Probably the earliest memory I have of this kind of weird encounter is when I was in middle school. I show up one morning, and this is before they've opened the doors for the students to come in. And a teacher is gathering the students outside waiting around the flagpole. And I ask one of my friends, you know, what's going on? He tells me they're having prayer. Now, this is before the school day started, and it was made very clear to us that this was completely voluntary. But I come to find out the reason why one of the teachers was out there offering this to the students is a very well-liked, well-known student, not personally known to me, but known to most of the other students and teachers, had actually passed away late the night before, early that morning, you know, somewhere around that time. And news had gotten out, of course, it had spread, and they're trying to offer the students some comfort.
Right.
So during the school day, I'm walking down the hall, it's in between classes, and I see this student that I've never seen before, but, you know, you always see new faces, especially in school when you only know the people in your classes. And the student is not interacting with anyone else. They're not speaking. You know, they don't seem to be in, you know, nearing the same space. And, you know, the student passes by me and, you know, I look at them and, you know, they just kind of, you know, make eye contact and hold it. And again, I have no idea who the student is. Doesn't really stand out to me because, hey, it's just a face I didn't recognize. But when I get home and, you know, my parents are talking to me about, you know, the student passing away, and they show me his obituary with his picture, and guess what? Guess whose picture it was? It was the student that I had seen earlier that day. Wow. Now, go ahead.
How old were you when this happened?
Middle school, 7th or 8th grade. I want to say it was 7th grade. Yeah, I went to the same school for 7th and 8th grade, so I believe it was when I was 7th grade. So 11, 12, 13, I don't remember exactly, you know.
Yeah,
but youngish, not yet a teenager, you know, in the biological sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, and again, I didn't know this student. I don't know why I saw this student. I had no reason to, you know, imagine him or to have any kind of flashback or, you know, hallucination of seeing them. But yeah, it's, yeah, I just found it odd at the time. Nothing would really stand out for another several years until I got to college and my sophomore year in college, especially was very, very stressful. I was struggling in some classes. I was in the honors program and taking some other difficult classes. I was taking a full load. In fact, I think I was over by one class. I was doing 15 hours instead of 12. Mm-hmm. And I was in a very volatile relationship with another student. I mean, honestly, like, you know, it's, if we'd been celebrities, we'd have been in the tabloids. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it was not a good relationship in hindsight. I can see that now. So that was very, very stressful. Typical college experience. Yeah, I was kind of re-examining some beliefs that I'd had, re-examining my values, re-examining my plans for my life. I wanted to, you know, go off to graduate school or whatever. My family wasn't comfortable with all that sudden change. So I was in conflict, not, you know, hurtful conflict, but in conflict with them a lot. So it was extremely stressful. And I was working part-time at the library. So, and they were really working part-timers. I mean, there was a time that I worked 7 out of 8 weekends and had, then 6 out of 8 weekends. So, constant stress, and randomly I'd be walking across campus or I'd be at work and I would see this, you know, black hooded and cloaked figure just kind of standing there, just observing. Couldn't see eyes or any features, but you know, definitely had this feeling that, you know, I was being watched. Now, again, a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. My mind was trying to process a lot of things. This very easily could have been a defense mechanism. To, you know, give me something to focus on, something to identify all that stress. But when I would see this thing, it felt like I was looking at something that was actually there in the physical space. Like looking at a picture of something versus looking at the thing itself. Mm-hmm. Or looking at digital art versus looking at, you know, a canvas hanging up in a museum. Mm-hmm. There was a weight to it, if that makes any sense, that I could perceive that you wouldn't perceive with something that you know isn't there or may not be there.
So you're seeing this thing and it's either, you know, a 13th century monk, or it's like, sounds like, you know, the Grim Reaper by all accounts, you know.
It was more like the Grim Reaper.
So you're seeing this thing. How tall is it? Like, I mean, can you guesstimate?
I mean, typical average human male, maybe 5'11", 6'1", or 6'2".
How far away, how close, you know, was it in proximity to you?
Never less than a few feet, like always more than arm's length away.
How many
times? So it was close.
How many times did this happen? A few times?
I remember twice in particular. One, I'm walking across campus and, you know, there it is. And, you know, just kind of, I'm looking in one direction, I look in that direction, and standing there, I walk by it. Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I knew my mind was in a million different places. I honestly didn't think anything of it. But then, you know, I'm at work, I'm at the circulation desk at the library. Yeah, I look up into the lobby, and there it is. And then, you know, one night I'm working on homework, and, you know, I just kind of look up to the side, and there it is. And I think I was so stressed out, I didn't know to be scared.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I knew this was something related to what was going through my mind at the time. But again, also, too, each time I saw it, it felt more and more real.
So, was it, I mean, I know you said it had a weight to it, so it had a physical kind of a physicality to it, I guess that that's what I'm trying, but, like, was it transparent? Was it, like, just, like, solid, like there was somebody there?
Yeah, it was solid. Like,
and it wasn't one of your creepy friends just stalking you?
No, Tim was not at college.
Okay.
And he's really the only candidate for messing with my head like that, at least at that point.
Yeah. It was a good guy.
So when you say, like, heavy, do you mean emotionally heavy also? Like, you got some vibes from it? Or what was your initial feeling whenever you would come into contact with this thing? Indifference? Like, or? I said,
the first couple of times, it was just like, you know, okay, this is weird. You know, but, you know, I filed it away. I knew your mind could play tricks on you. But, you know, the more and more I saw it, and I might have seen it like 7 or 8 times, and then things started getting better. It was just...
You saw it that many times.
Yeah. It was, fear never entered into the picture. Almost more of a, not really indifference, but just an acknowledgement that it's there. And just exactly wondering why. You know, I mean, is am I weak and this is something preying on me?
Right.
You know, is it, you know, something I'm supposed to take comfort in?
So did you feel, because it was so close to you and you saw it so often, did you feel any kind of like, and I know you said you were extremely distracted and stressed out and all of these, and your brain was all over the place, but did you feel any kind of like energy or sensation, anything like that from it? Do you feel like it was draining you, or do you think it was just hovering around saying, hey, you know, you, this is mortality, you know, this is existence, or, you know, you, or take notice. Maybe it was that. I don't know. I'm just... Yeah.
Well, the closest, and I'm not really sure how to give you a direct answer, but the closest analogy I can come up with is actually in Dungeons & Dragons, there is a, I think it was in 3.5 edition, there's actually a monster in the monster manual that is a sentinel-like creature. And it just follows the players, follows the party, wherever they go. You know, it never attacks them. It never speaks to them. It's just always there. And it's usually used by the Dungeon Master as a way to insert themselves into the story. That's really the closest thing. Now, at the time, I wasn't playing D&D, so I couldn't make that relationship now. But that's, you know, I couldn't make it until now. But that's really the closest thing. Just this knowledge that there was something following me, or this feeling that there was something following me. That, you know, it could see me, I could see it, no one else seemed to be able to see it. Almost like a calming sense. Not okay. I feel better. But, you know, when the, you know, okay, you know, there's something physically there. Something to distract me from all the distractions. So I don't know if it was meant to comfort me, but, you know, It definitely gave me a moment of focus before I went on to, you know, the rest of my day.
Well, man, if it was the Grim Reaper and it wasn't after you, then, man, there must have been people dropping like flies all around you.
Yeah.
So, not to make light, but still, I mean,
right. Grim
Reaper, you got out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just, it was just something weird that happened, you know, a few times, and it has really stuck with me.
I'd say so. It should.
Yeah. And, you know, after a few times, and, you know, it stopped showing up, and it hasn't really come back, at least not in that sense.
So we want to try an experiment. We want to get stories from you, the listener, for us to read on air.
What we're saying is, if you don't feel comfortable being interviewed on air, you can type up your story and send it to us, and we will have it read, and we'll share your story that way.
It'll be a cross between us telling your story and our reactions to your story.
So what we'll probably do is have a third party read your stories, and we'll react as we typically do.
And we want to try this as an experiment. It's an idea that we've come up with.
Now, granted, we can't ask you the questions we would normally ask someone who is involved in the story, but we may have our reader just make up stuff.
That could be part of the charm.
And it's a little silly, but we're going to try it, and it'll be fun.
Now, there was a rather traumatic thing that happened And this is probably the one that I really can't explain, because there was nothing to manifest in my imagination. There was no sign of anything going wrong. But my papa, my grandma's brother, we all called him Papa, he lived with us. And he was in his 70s. He had emphysema for several years. We knew his health was bad. We knew that, you know, each day, you know, it could be a matter of time. But, you know, he didn't particularly show any signs of, you know, his sickness getting worse. He wasn't complaining about being sick. He hadn't been to the doctor, and the doctor was like, oh, my gosh, it's taking a turn for the worse. But one day, we'd gone fishing. We'd stayed the night at the beach. We came back the next day. We had dinner. We, you know, hung out the evening time. I played video games or whatever. We all went to bed. I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned a little bit. And I'm looking up at the ceiling, you know, because I'm flat on my back, you know, not sure what else to do with my mind. Look up at the ceiling, and just like shadow passes over the ceiling. And, you know, it's night, and of course there's very little light in the room, but I can still perceive a shadow passing over the ceiling. And it like goes from end to end, you know, and comes, you know, from behind me and, you know, towards the rest of the house. My bedroom's at the front of the house. And it's gone, and eventually I just kind of tire myself out, I guess, and I finally sleep. And when I wake up the next morning, my grandma comes running into my bedroom with my little brother saying, you know, you need to watch your brother. And she tells me that Papa's dead.
Wow.
How old were you when this happened?
I was in college.
Okay.
In college, so maybe 19 or 20 at the time.
Okay.
It was in between my sophomore and junior years.
Was this around the same time, or was this after you saw the other?
This was after. It had been a while.
Huh.
Yeah. But, you know, my family's very religious. I'm not quite to the degree that they are, but, you know, my wife and I, we do go to church. We belong to a church. We do believe. So it's very easy for me to accept the fact that what I saw was the angel of death coming to take my papa home.
Now, do you have a time? Like, do you know what time, about what time that was? Or does that correlate with when he passed away? Or
I don't remember the exact time, but mm-hmm. as we figured out what had happened to him, he had coughed mm-hmm. so bad he got strangled and his windpipe was cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were able to piece together when that happened, I do remember it being around the time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so. I've been in the presence of someone that passes away, and there's something that happens. I don't know what it is, but there's something tangible there. And I've experienced in the room, and then I've also experienced, you know, what kind of similar, your kind of similar situation where something presented itself, you know.
Right.
It's like some sort of energy that interjected and said something important is going on right now, even if you don't know what it is. Something profound is happening. That's so weird that you've got that story, because I have one very similar to that, man. And it's not, except mine was a little bit more out of body. I had a little bit of a sort of I don't know what you would say, but I was visited by the person in a very in a very intimate way, you know. But that night before the quote unquote visitation happened, I was at work, and I had a very, very emotional, you know, response to something heavy. I can't really put it into words, but just something was like, something overcame me. I was like, oh, you know, so I've experienced that, and that's difficult to put into words what that, you know, means. And we've had, Adam and I have talked to guys before, girls before, that talk about having seen something before something else happens, or, you know, my situation wasn't that, but I can only imagine that must be a strange thing to try to connect and figure out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, you know, I saw it, I remember it happening, and then, you know, we woke up the next morning and, you know, found out that, you know, Pop had passed away. And it wasn't until later that day that, you know, I was able to process having had this experience. So it was almost like if I could have remembered it immediately and, you know, it wouldn't have hit me quite as hard, you know. But, you know, my first thought, you know, obviously was, you know, my papa's dead.
Yeah.
He's gone. If at that moment I could have done, oh, well, that explains what I saw last night, then, you know, it probably wouldn't be as profound a memory. But the fact that it took a while for it to really sink in, and it was almost like, yeah, Adam, I don't know if you're familiar. I'm sure you've heard the term, meaning the pop culture and all that, fridge logic. It's like after you go to the movies and, you know, you come home and then later that night you go to the fridge to get your midnight snack or whatever and you realize, you know, the big plot twist and how it all fit together and you're like, oh my God, that's terrible. It was almost like that. Yeah, it was definitely a fridge logic moment where, you know, because it hit me later, it was that more of an impact.
Well, definitely any time that there's a sudden death. And you're associated with somebody that, or you know, where you're like, however you connect to them, and there's a sudden death, that hits hard. That hits really hard. So yeah, so I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense that you are more absorbed in that moment of grief and loss immediately than you are with the high strangeness. Mm-hmm. That it is around that moment
only years later, sometimes you can look back and go, oh, wow, okay, that was going on at the same time this was going on. And that prepared me for that or whatever, whatever it was. And it's, you can't, I always say this, people that don't have an experience like that, you'll never be able to explain it to them because they're never going to be able to digest it.
Yeah.
You know, that's neither here nor there. It's just when you've had an experience like that, you know it happened, and you don't need to convince anybody of it because you know it happened.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And whether that is a figment of whatever imagination you have going on at the time, maybe, but, you know, it's true to me.
Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
True to me. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I've mentioned a couple of times about, you know, my family having a religious history. Well, my rule has always been that if I'm going to believe in a sky wizard and angels, then I'm going to believe in other unexplainable things, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Follow us on our journey through the weird wide world on our social media sites. Our Instagram is What's Your Weird Story. Remember that your is spelled Y-E-R. So that's WHATSYERWEIRDSTORY. You can find us on Twitter at What's Your Weird. We have the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. We're also at www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. Feel free to drop us a line through any of the social media platforms. Just remember that the What's Your Weird Story podcast doesn't exist without your stories. If you have something interesting and weird to share, please get in touch.
One thing that happened when I was probably, this probably was either high school or college this happened, but this is like the only really scary thing I have to talk about. But we were taking my little brother out trick-or-treating, and you know, we would go to a neighborhood, trick-or-treat, drive him to another neighborhood, trick-or-treat, and we're going from one neighborhood to another, and you know, we passed by this house, and we're driving in the city, so we're driving slow, you know, like, you know, we're in like in a 25 zone or something like that. So I have some time to really observe what I see. And, you know, there's a light on, a big bay window, there's light, you know, coming through, like reddish, orangish light. And I'm like, oh, they must be having a party. But I look in the window and I see this thing standing in the window. And all I remember is that it was backlit, light was coming from behind it. It had these huge, like, antler things coming out of its head. It looked to be wearing a robe or a cape or something. Again, couldn't make out any features. But for this, those few seconds that, you know, I'm looking at it, I really get this sense that I'm seeing something I shouldn't be seeing. You know, I'm looking at something I'm not meant to be looking at. And it's like looking at a picture of Charles Manson or Jeffrey Dahmer. You can really sense the evil coming off. And I don't know what was going on in that house that night. I was almost scared to find out. But I really feel like I saw something that you know, had a malicious intent. And again, there was that weight to it. There was a real presence there. And if someone can make a Halloween costume that effective, then Hollywood needs to get in touch with them. That's all I'm saying. So yeah, there was definitely something in that house that night that I don't think science can justify being there.
You saw evil, or more kind of in your reference, you saw the devil.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you had told me, oh yeah, you totally just saw Satan, I'd believe you. And you know, to me and in my beliefs, you know, the devil is more of a label we put on a presence than it's an actual being. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a source of that presence, mind you, but you know, I mean, the whole pitchfork and fork tail, yeah, and you know, yeah, but you know, the essence of what we understand the devil to be, that's what I saw.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've been in the presence. I think everyone has been in the presence of somebody up to no good, and you know it, and you know a feeling when it's no good.
Yeah.
And up to no good is kind of a simplified, you know, brace. You know when you're about somebody that's just definitely not on the right side of whatever. Right.
Unless you're not really aware of those types of things.
That is a possibility too. Now, Brandon, have you, so I know you're a very learned person. You read a lot and you've done, you know, you've got your master's and your,
I is smart.
He's also, you know, also a writer, as well. And not just your typical, slash fanfic kind of stuff. Mostly erotic fiction, but
I was gonna say tentacles or
yes,
yeah, he's definitely on the tentacles.
The answer to your question is yes.
But have you ever messed around with like a Ouija board, or did you ever do like Bloody Mary or anything that seems like simple and childish but has this kind of arcane kind of thing? Because I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but this is just the one of our previous episode, our guest told us about some Bloody Mary stuff, and that's one of the things that I keep forgetting to ask people, because that's one of those things that, you know, either you do it or you're like me and you were like, oh hell no.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I do put a lot of value on scientific knowledge. I do put a lot of value on what you can learn from a book.
And you are a very, very down to earth, very grounded person for the most
part. I like to think so. Yeah. But there are some things that I'm just not going to mess with. An Ouija board. I have read the scientific explanation on how an Ouija board works. I don't care. Because the way I look at it is it only takes once.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's the Christian idea of the devil or just the sense of, you know, there's a dark to contrast with the light, you know, Star Wars, I don't care.
Right.
It only takes once for some kind of malevolent entity that defies explanation to sink their hooks into something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, next thing you know, you're in a Clive Barker novel.
Yeah. So you're saying you're basically, it's like it's basically it's supernatural meth.
Yeah.
Once it only takes once. Yeah.
Why rock the boat? I mean, do you need to get that high? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, to me, I love scary movies. I love horror films. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife will walk through the living room when I'm watching a movie, and she'll look at it and shake her head and say, white people. but hey, I mean, I love that stuff. You know, I grew up speaking mm-hmm. of my papa, you know, he loved the Friday the 13th movies. Yeah. You know, I'm 4 years old and watching a Jason movie, as he called them, with him in the living room. I mean, that's as close as I'm willing to get mm-hmm. to, you know, some of the really freaky, violent, dark mm-hmm. stuff that's out there.
Well, I've said this before. I've known some people, and I was involved with some people that were into that kind of stuff. And although they tried to pass it off as what they were doing was on the wider side of things, right? But certain point, there's a price to be paid. You start messing with that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. and that line is real blurry, and people start playing with it. And I can never go down that rabbit hole. I just always felt like, you know, negative energies and things can attach themselves to you. I've always felt that way. And I think it's because I grew up in a religious household. So did Adam. I think that it was some of that, you know, that Protestant guilt we were talking about a little bit earlier. You know, it's like once that has been inbred in your brain, no matter how far away you try to get from it, you still have that thing in the back of your head that's like, there's more to this world than what I'm able to see.
Yeah.
You feel that when people pass, and you feel that through friendship and love, and you know, the chemicals in your brain that are produced by those types of things. I don't pass things off that easily and say that it can't be possible. You know, that mm-hmm. this type of stuff can't be possible, because I don't know. And I think people think that they know, have the firm answer about things. Those are the ones that are on, you know, ground that I don't necessarily want to be on. I never want to be too sure about things.
Yeah. I think that's a good. So,
and also too, I mean, whatever is out there, I mean, it is a predator. It goes after, mm-hmm. it goes after things it can feed on, mm-hmm. and any good predator will always go for the low hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mind is not 100% functional, okay? I'm on meds. You know, I've had depression.
We're all depressed, dude. We're all on meds.
Who isn't? You know, who isn't these days? I mean, if you're not on prescribed meds, you're self-medicating. Exactly. Or
you're into yoga, or you're into...
That's a human condition in the 21st century, you know?
We're all trying to right the ship.
But, you know, I mean, you know, my line of thinking is that, you know, yeah, we're all there. Some of us are a little further along the line than others. I'm well aware of the fact that I'm just far enough along that line to probably be a prime target. You know, because, you know, I do give into emotion so easily. I do panic so easily. No. You can keep your Ouija boards. You can keep your Bloody Mary. Candyman. The closest I'm willing to do, as far as, you know, spooky entertainment goes, is a ghost walk. I do love me a good ghost walk.
Yeah.
And I've been on a ghost walk here in Goldsboro, in fact, where they're like, you will see real ghosts. And I'm like, well, you know, I saw stuff that might be a ghost, but, you know, you can also easily explain it.
That's difficult when you have a group. Like, we did the Stanley Hotel in Colorado, where, you know, The Shining was written, basically.
Right.
And it was a group tour, and it was like, you know, supposedly a super haunted hotel. But it's like, man, you're never going to get that unless... You know, I could see maybe being there at night and smaller groups or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you're never going to know when that stuff is going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and with groups also, I mean, as an individual, there is the desire to believe, the desire to see something. But there's something about being in groups that, I think it's human nature where we... If you have a group that has a similar kind of goal, and, you know, when the goal is to see something or have this kind of experience, mm-hmm. then you're going to be collectively more keyed up to so that you will your energy will be kind of reflected back on each other. So if you go to come together thinking you're going to go find Ghost, you might convince yourself that something is there rather than if you were on your own. It would, and even with the same personal anticipation, it may not be manifest as what it is, which is not to necessarily negate, you know, one thing or other. But I think there's something about the whole, I mean, that's why we have like fandom, you know, like teams where people are, you know, we want to belong to a group.
Right.
We want to go along with a group.
Right.
Herd mentality, you know.
You want to ride that wave. You want the thrill of success. You want the, you know, you want the power to overcome.
Yeah. And the shared experience of what it is. So I think that, you know, that could be something that happens a lot more when you have like a group kind of like ghost walk, or you have something where you're doing something as a collective. But if you also, on the other side of the coin, if your collective group is kind of a bunch of like naysayers or not taking the thing collectively seriously, then you won't have that effect, or you'll have that same effect where you, because like I remember one time when we were on tour with Art Lord, we were in Winston-Salem, and we played a show at, this was weird in and of itself, but we played a show at this old building that was like a downtown Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And at one point it had been converted into a thrift store, but the old lady that owned it had died, and she left it to, I want to say it was her granddaughter, or maybe it was her grandson, or left it to the person who ran the place. And under the condition that they could live there, they owned the building, but they never sold anything in the thrift store. So they didn't open it up as a thrift store anymore. All the stuff had to sit there. So it was like this amazing place with all this like weird stuff, but couldn't leave. And this, so we played the show there, and we went down the street, and we found these people, and this is late at night in the summer, and these people are just sitting on in front of their like little restaurant, drinking a keg of Shiner Bock that they imported from Texas. And they invited us to sit down, so we sat down, we drank this beer with these people, and then we went back to the thrift store thing. And on the way back, one of the a friend of the owners told us that the place was haunted and that she would give us a ghost tour. And we're all giggly and drunk and everything. And so we go back through, and this building was a Civil War hospital. So, it, you know, and it had like probably like at least 5 stories. And we were on the bottom 2 stories were the ones that were anybody was still using, but the top 3 were just storage and had random stuff in it and not hardly any working lights or anything like that. So we're getting guided through the spiraling thing of just random junk in the complete darkness. And this girl is trying to give us this tour, and we're just giggling and laughing, and she was getting really pissed off at us because we weren't taking it serious. And so no ghost showed up because we didn't take it seriously. Yeah. But you know, but that's the thing. It's like we were laughing because it was like that nervous energy. We didn't necessarily believe in anything that would show up. We were hoping, but at this, you know, maybe something to show up, but we didn't have that level of expected belief that this girl really was really serious about it and really wanted us to have, and she quit. She quit giving us a tour about halfway through. She just got tired of it.
She needed something to work with. You guys weren't giving her anything to work with, man.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we had like one or two. I think Sam was really interested in hearing all that stuff. I think William was kind of halfway paying attention, but Garrett and I were just laughing, and we just couldn't stop it. We just couldn't stop cracking jokes and stuff. But yeah, but that was fun, you know. But still, it's like I said, we didn't see any ghosties. So, yeah. Do you have anything else for us? Anything?
No, not particularly. I'm sure that, and because, and one thing in talking to you guys, I've kind of come to realize that this thing, whatever it is, was definitely a presence in my life for several years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if it came back. I certainly hope that it doesn't have any ill intent. Mm-hmm.
I think if it had ill intent, you would have known it by now, man.
I would imagine so. Like to
believe, yeah. But either way, I'm staying far away from any kind of, you know, fortune telling, ghost summoning, yeah, any kind of anything like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't tempt the beast.
Hey, Barry, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need all our friends and listeners to go and rate and review us the highest possible of all those things on all their podcast providers. iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, whatever. You know them all. You listen to them all, or at least one of them. So go, please go. Give us all the stars, all the thumbs up, all the hearts, all the love, great reviews, so we can grow our audience and more people can add and contribute to not only the stories, but to the listening and being part of this huge community that we are going to build. That's what we need.
Wow, man. So that was pretty cool. Interesting. The Grim Reaper stuff is,
yeah,
the...
Dude.
Man, that stuff is crazy.
Yeah, dude, that's really, it's wild. I, you know, he seemed to handle it very cool, you know, very, yeah, like, oh, whatever. And I don't think I would have had the same reaction.
I don't think so either.
I saw, like, you know, this weird hooded individual floating around all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the shadow of death, again, he kind of saw the same kind of a thing. And... you know, when his great uncle died.
Yeah, how you keep your composure in a situation like that? My first response would not be to ignore or sort of go around the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. So, yeah, my hat's off to him for keeping calm.
Yeah, dude. But I tell you what, I really did love that Halloween story. That was spooky.
Yeah, it was cool too. Yeah, for sure.
If I ever thought that I saw the devil in a house on Halloween, which that right there sounds like a really great title for a story, Brandon, since you're the writer, man. But yeah, if I ever saw that, dude, trick-or-treating would probably be over for the night. Yeah. That would probably be over for the
definitely,
night.
Definitely, for sure.
Do you, Barry, you remember in our hometown, trick-or-treat, it was always a big thing.
Oh, huge, man.
When we were little kids.
Huge, and you know? And you'd go get your candy, you'd walk, and you know, every neighborhood seemed like they were involved, and
yeah, you'd for go sure.
Door to door to door to door to door. And
yeah.
Then, as you
even got... Even at night, not just absolutely. During dusk, I've been waved, yeah. It seemed like it went on for hours.
Oh, yeah. And then as you got older, it turned into more like a shaving cream. Like,
yes.
You know, you still participated, but on a different level at that point.
I remember that it was almost a rite of passage from being a little kid to being like a middle schooler. Is you quit trick-or-treating and you went and you got shave cream cans and you went out and you found other kids your age.
Yeah.
And you had shave cream wars.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore. I that concept is gone with the wind, man.
Yeah, dude. That was the trick part, I guess.
I can't. You know? It is so weird that, like, I don't know what it was about those times, but, like, those were some of my favorite times.
Oh, it was great, dude.
You know, you'd be out with your friends, and you're just roaming around, and the asshole of the bunch always got the menthol shaving cream. You know what I mean?
It was always an undeclared thing that you didn't get menthol, because menthol would hurt if it got in your eye.
For sure.
So it was kind of it was like, you know, according to the Geneva Convention that was there for for the Kingfisher shaving cream wars.
Yeah.
Halloween.
Yeah.
You didn't get menthol, but that's somebody hilarious. Else. And I remember we used to kind of modify the cans. You know, you take the big fat plastic ring part off, so it just had a little stream, and it would shoot further.
That's right. What a trip.
Dude, I remember one year, probably, it may have been the first year, I went shaving cream, and I was just covered, man, just covered, head to toe, and I got so sick the next day because I was just out in the cool.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, fall weather.
Yeah.
Covered
in shaving cream, man. That was a fun time then. That was a fun time.
And then I guess as you got older, you outgrew even the shave cream wars when you were high schoolers. They would take, they would go after other high schoolers. You did, again, you didn't cross the line and get other kids younger than you, really.
No.
But they do water balloons and egging. They go egging.
Yeah, and, egging, man. Yeah.
And that was bad because that would, if you got, if your car got hit by an egg, you could mess up the paint.
Oh, yeah. There was. There would be lots of stories about people getting egged and, you know, who did what and water ballooning and.
Yeah, so we didn't have that kind of that paddling type thing that they had in Dazed and Confused.
Correct, man. But they did have, before our time, they had Haul Out Week. Do you remember Haul Out Week?
That's right.
That's right, man.
I do remember hearing so
the
about that.
The seniors would take the freshmen way out in the country. I'm talking 5, 6, 7 miles out in the country and dump them off, and then they'd have to walk back into town. Yeah. And that was okay. Like, wasn't a problem.
No, it wasn't a problem. It was probably only like a mile. It probably was like a traditional spot.
Yeah.
Probably like the Elks Club or whatever it is out there. They would take them out and drop them off. And
I was always told it was way out, so.
Yeah, I think that's just scary and timid, because I never knew anybody that actually
I didn't either.
Happened. So it was probably one of those things to just to terrorize the freshmen.
Right.
So that's some of the joys of growing up in a small town. So
good stuff, fun times.
Awesome. Well, you going trick or treating, Barry?
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Are your kids still into that?
No.
Are they too cool?
Yeah, they're too cool for it. But you know, we participate. We got kids in our neighborhood.
That's good.
So we hand out candy and stuff. So
that's good. That's good. I don't hand out candy. No. Don't believe in it. Just kidding. Nobody comes by. I live in a college area.
Yeah.
So nobody ever comes by on Halloween. Sure. So and that's cool. Well, awesome. Hey guys, thanks for listening, Brandon. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for taking that brief walk with us down Memory Lane, which was just west of town. Thanks for supporting the podcast. Thanks for helping us grow. And we ask you to keep helping us grow and keep telling people and sharing and listening and subscribing and rating and all that good stuff. You know, once again, we always invite you to, you know, share your stories with us because, man, we love hearing that stuff. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.